leadership role will be dependent upon the TOWI's continued capacity to identify, react to, and capitalize on emerging trends. And in particular, as we all know, the TOWI must continually monitor such items as all electronic tolling, multi-protocol technology, video tolling, interoperability, and public-private partnerships. We must be prepared to think both tactically and strategically, and prepare solutions to challenges that reflect the growth of technology and system pressures. Finally, a recurring theme throughout the review is the need for the TOWI to update current key systems. Systems used for human resources management, customer service, procurement, financial and accounting, reporting, timekeeping and payroll, and various supplementary systems. All can limit the ability of the TOWI to affect the type of change necessary for a 21st century tolling system. So like many institutions, the TOWI has a number of manual processes that would benefit from automated systems that would increase data transparency and enhance data-driven decision-making. So on our next slide, we see what some of these key saving opportunities are. The first is a standardization of contract management roles and responsibilities. It's anticipated this would increase consistency and predictability across the tollway and lead to improved decision-making, and especially with respect to times, and decrease risk to the authority. It would also increase the TOWI's overall capacity through improved capturing of key performance indicators, combined with enhanced development of performance measures. We would have more effective contract management, which would lead to reduced costs, fewer errors in billing and invoicing, and stronger tracking of vendor performance.
Can you give us an example of what might be different? What is it that is not standardized?
In terms of the types of measurements or items that are looked at in terms of contracts,
so
they differ between departments.
I may ask different questions and have different procurement standards.
Exactly. And it also inhibits the ability for upper management, Christie, to know really what's going on in real time. So a standardization project will certainly enhance that process.
Thank you. And they'll never be able to be completely standardized, because obviously you have different needs in different areas, but a little better standardization, I think, would be helpful.
The second bullet point you see up there is that the TOWI could utilize a benefits consulting firm that would identify potential savings through such areas as health benefit plan design, strategic reorganization of the benefit programs, managing vendor contracts, claims audits, and other innovative strategies. We could look at potentially a contingency pricing arrangement so that we would be insured that the consultant would result in greater savings and not be just an expenditure. And we could have a consultant that would actually support some of our management in studying trends in employee health and wellness, plan selection, and medical claims and industry development. All good things. Third bullet, and most importantly, the team has identified the need for an enterprise resource planning system, or an ERP. It would greatly improve accuracy, transparency, transaction cycle times, reporting cycle times, and overall decision making. Reliable integrated data obtained from an ERP system will greatly reduce efforts to complete routine tasks, eliminate customized approaches by the IT department that have to be maintained and developed, reduces the possible risk of system breakdowns and slowdowns, and would enhance overall operations in general.
Why don't we just, I think we did a small presentation and talked about an ERP at one point in time, but it is kind of an integrated system that really brings together, you know, financial management with procurement, and you have one system that interacts throughout the agency that can really track spending on contracts, procurement process, the financial systems that we're required to, you know, track our budgeting, and you know, would be more of a comprehensive, system-wide tool. Right now, we have separate systems in each of those areas. As you've heard, some of them are out of date, but they aren't necessarily always integrated very well, so that the agency can be as efficient as it possibly can. So just a little refresher. I'm sure I'm leaving out many, many important elements of an ERP system in that in that overview.
Well, that was a good layperson explanation. But do I remember that there's a question of how the state is thinking about doing this? And
there is. So this is not something that, you know, we would be likely re-engaging in some conversations with the state, with CMS, because I think that the tollway had attempted to undertake this effort several years ago and were asked to put it on hold because at that time there was a thought that the state would do some statewide, basically, ERP system that we would want to be compatible with. And of course, while that is our goal, you know, these are not a small undertaking. They're not a small cost. And we would have to kind of re-engage in those conversations with the state if we decided to move on this, to see how we could move forward, either with a process that they have ongoing or, you know, independent of it, being mindful that we wanted something that had enough flexibility to have some interoperability with any other systems that were put in place at other critical state agencies.
Thank you. And with that in mind, we've done a lot of foundational work that already exists. It will have to be revised, updated, and reviewed, but some of that work already exists, and we'll be able to capitalize on that.
Can I ask a question? Is it kind of important as we go into our new capital plan for Illinois? I mean, I know we're coming at the tail end of the old capital plan, which spend a certain dollar amount per year going into this new plan, which is going to be spending like $1 billion a year and trying to keep up with everything, reports and compliance and all that, and not having this kind of system in place seems like it's going to be difficult or a challenge.
Well, we have a pretty strong contract management system that was implemented under the previous congestion relief program. We are going to be undertaking, you know, just to be sure we're in the best position possible for the high level of activity years, which, as you recall, you know, next year we're going to have more activity, but it's really the following year where we start to get into that $1 billion a year of activity. We're working with, you know, engineering to look for, you know, an audit of our construction management and construction program generally, just to make sure our house is in order there. It's unlikely, frankly, that we could implement an ERP system between now and the time that we have our capital program really ramping up.
The only thing I know about ERP that they take forever.
They take a long time. They're a big undertaking. This is the fact that it's a recommendation in this report. I don't want to mislead anybody into that now we've made a decision that we're doing it. I think there's still a lot of work that
there's
we need to do about whether it's the right thing for us to undertake and whether we want to spend this kind of money and the kind of time to do it, or whether there are key components that we should look at implementing first. But we do have, I think, a pretty robust contract tracking and project tracking system in engineering for those construction projects. But, you know, we do think that there's, you know, some benefit to really looking at a more expansive kind of system-wide system upgrade. So, but it's a good question, and we will be doing, you know, a more official review, so you won't just have to take my word for it.
Okay.
That fourth bullet there is a suggestion by the team that departments be held more accountable for workers' compensation claims, which may lead to innovations and decreased accidents. It's something that would certainly have to be worked out with individual departments and really consideration of what makes sense in that area, but it is a further opportunity perhaps for cost savings. On the next slide, yes. One area of focus of the review has been the procurement process. The review recognizes the significant changes that have occurred in the procurement process, which has added a great level of complexity. But the tollway's ability to improve response time and reduce costs is essential to effective management. One key opportunity is to accomplish that through the use of reverse auctions. To improve pricing competitiveness. This would require the establishment of reverse auction rules, but would lead to improved, competitiveness in pricing for goods and commodities that are widely available and competitively priced.
So do we know what reverse auctions are? Is everybody familiar with that term? So reverse auctions are, you know, an opportunity for there being a window of time. So instead of a company coming in and submitting one bid for a particular procurement and commodities, it's usually commodity-type purchases that these would be used on. But instead of one bid being submitted, you have a window of time and companies can continue to compete for the business and continue to submit lower bids. I mean, there have been some challenges in other states where companies have unwittingly bid themselves out of really being in business anymore because they've tried to be too competitive and haven't priced correctly. But it definitely, I think, has some opportunity because we do, a lot of our purchases are more commodity-type purchases, vehicle parts, you know, fuel, you know, things that you can standardize and understand what the purchase would be.
So there are some good models out there that we could duplicate, but it will require some additional authority and working with the procurement people as to what those rules would be with respect to reverse auctions. Finally, that second bullet there is a recommendation that the procurement department enhance its training of procurement personnel through enhancing key staff skill sets to be part of a high-performing procurement operation. The department will be better positioned with faster decision-making, less backtracking, and possible savings from innovative approaches. Renewed staff plans, development plans, would allow for recognizing advanced training and certifications and continued professional development of procurement individuals.
So, in terms of the procurement department, because now we have our procurement and then you have to interact with the state procurement officer, so we'll train our staff really well to be fast, you know, but then you run into the wall at the state level. I mean,
That's certainly a concern. I don't know if John, you want to.
No, we can definitely independently train our procurement staff.
I know that, but
there's only so much control
we
have
over
the
process. What is the goal?
Maybe we can provide an eye-opening experience where people will see the benefit of our training.
I think we are working closely. I don't want to preempt what John was going to say, but we are working closely with our new SPO, mm-hmm. as well as the chief procurement officer responsible for our agency to look at. We have a tremendous volume of activity that happens here relative to other state agencies that may not frankly have as many procurements. And so, you know, just making sure that we have capacity at every level to, you know, delay cost money, basically. Mm-hmm. And so just to make sure we have the right capacity at every level to move things quickly once, you know, all of the appropriate information is there and there's a, you know, they have completed information that they, that there's the correct capacity to move things quickly and continuing to work with them on it.
That's a good part. And also training our staff to make sure that we meet all the requirements that may have taken place, the changes that have taken place in the last year and a half. Therefore, as Mike indicates in the slide, that we, you know, we don't have the back and forth that takes place. We get it right the first time.
And one question on that reverse auction, I mean, how much involvement of CMS and how much is an additional time period that's going to be involved? Or
well, we would have to get, I think, rules drafted by the CPO and the Executive Ethics Commission, correct?
Correct.
To draft the rules.
Right.
Is that
that seems like a nice idea to avoid that wall and having a forced price tag up front. Is that something that you think that you could get done?
Well, I have been. With Christie's, you know, we have been working with the CPO over time, and you know, with all the changes again that's taken place in a year and a half, he has committed that they are in the process of writing rules. One may get written, you know, hopefully it'll be in the near future. And once those rules are published, then we're free to use the reverse auction system. Now we can't do it on our own.
Right.
But we'll continue to work with them because we do think it's, you know, important for us to at least test it out and see if there's some savings for us.
Right, it's another tool in the toolbox.
Yep. Yeah.
So on the next slide, we start in with some of the efficiency gains that the report mentions. Along the same lines as we've been discussing, suggestion for a redesign of the procurement process, the idea of, you know, streamlining our internal processes to the extent that we can to allow for transparency, control, and predictability. Particularly identifying those internal processes that work from an institutional perspective and in terms of effectiveness and efficiency, really taking a sort of a step back and seeing what makes sense. I know John's already started that process with a goal to finish that process, I believe, fairly quickly. Yet another opportunity exists for greater efficiency with improvements to the service work order system. Goals of transparency and control, particularly with respect to maintenance work requests, and another area where an ERP system might be of some service and use. Another recurring theme throughout the review is the key role that IT plays in our institution, and how they will continue to the role that they will continue to play, including in approval of technology purchases and managing of technology contracts. Internal consistency and improvement in the management of technology and system performance. We can already see that, and we have high hopes of a continued process. Particularly of interest is the recently developed policies and procedures on system development, change management, and system security that will be used to standardize those processes across the tollway. The fourth bullet, again, is an ERP comment. It's certainly mentioned a few times in the review, but also, as Christy mentioned, it is a longer, it's not an immediate term process, and the consideration of interim solutions, particularly for accounting and financial information reporting, will need to be considered. On the final slide, one area in the area of organizational structure the review has identified is the ability for planning and performance measurement functions as key areas that would benefit from greater executive office direction. More direct communication and management between the functions would allow for expanded capacity, would allow for establishing tollway work right as.
And this is really
strategies.
About having these housed in the executive office. Not really communication between the executive office and the group, but having this functionality in the executive office.
That's correct. It's really direct reporting that we're talking about.
Is that NACWA's department?
Partially, but performance management is not really something that exists clearly and distinctly at this point. As you know, we've started to implement kind of performance measures and performance tracking, but we don't necessarily have, you know, a dedicated to that. It's in the different departments in the agency, so I think that, you know, it would be something that we want to think about more comprehensively. But yes, planning would be Rockland's department now, which is in engineering.
Finally, the last bullet point, the implementation of stronger controls around FMLA and just in general attendance matters with the idea of detecting and preventing leave abuse and really more centralizing that function in part through the adoption of additional systems that are already underway or attempting to be put in place. And with these adoptions of these short-term and long-term.
Sorry, because I forgot on the employee productivity. Do we have swiping or finger recognition? What do we do for what?
Yeah, we use a biometric system that recognizes individuals.
For timekeeping.
For timekeeping. Well, with that tool, can't you, I mean, you could do better management on this sort of leaves and absences. And
this
that.
Is really about individuals who call in, who haven't approved FMLA leave, but may be abusing that.
Okay.
It may be only granted under certain conditions.
Okay.
Thank you, Director, for your time.
Thank you. Did you want to comment at all?
No, I think, you know, it's something that, as you know, we started talking about shortly after I started, and went through, I think, a lengthy procurement process and finally got a company on board to do the work for us. So I think we have some good ideas here. And again, I think a lot of this will fall under the Finance Administration Operations Committee. We wanted to wait to work with the chair of that committee, Director Saldana, on establishing kind of the same type of 12-month agenda for her committee's work until we've given this presentation to the full board. Now I think we can take from this and start to look at, you know, how with this and some of the other things that we've discussed today, we can look at how we can continue to make sure we're engaging the board and getting your ideas as we move forward on implementing or not implementing some of these recommendations, and you know, any, you know, reorganizations or changes in the structure of the agency that may result from the work that we've done here. So again, thanks to the staff who worked hard on this, and to all the chiefs who I know contributed to it and work with PFM on it and other management within the agency. I think it's been a good product.
I can hardly wait to talk about ERP.
But I would just make the point, we've reduced here, or they've reduced here, to 7 slides, a complete comprehensive overview of the agency. I mean, it's, well, first of all, a great undertaking and ambitious, and we appreciate that it was done, but also the fact that it was able to be consolidated into those things. It's not that they didn't do a thorough job, it's not that they didn't find a lot of things, but I think the presentation was very good. And it puts us in a position to really think about how to manage the agency more efficiently and more effectively.
And we could see where there are gaps.
Yeah.
And what interests ourselves to finish.
And I think to permit ourselves to be examined that way is really important, because you want, I mean, what comes out are places where there are weaknesses, that we didn't have a list of all the things we're doing right, but there are a lot of those things too. So thank you for doing that and for presenting.
Did they look at staffing levels at all? Are we understaffed, overstaffed? As governments are facing some financial pressures, we may be forced into a similar situation that the local governments are. Did this? I thought they were going to do that as well.
They did, and they made some recommendations in some areas, actually, that we either upgrade the skills of the workforce that's there, upgrade the qualifications for people who would be hired in those areas. There were some opportunities that they identified where we maybe could, again, through kind of restructuring some of our activities, capture some efficiencies, but they didn't identify, you know, major areas where they found overstaffing.
No. And really some of these structural things were really items that need more organizational input to really consider how and what direction it should be taken.
Now, I assume as we launch the capital program that this will be an area that the board will be involved in, because the staff, particularly I think under Paul, was already during the last program with outside consultants and contractors that were in-house but hired through contract, and I think we're going to need to look at all of those questions and figure out how to deploy our resources most effectively as we go into this big capital
construction.
Go ahead.
Dr. Saldana, and I were wondering, can we get that electronically, the board members?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, full report.
Sure.
Can we get it printed?
Yes.
At least. For heaven's sakes.
I'd like a copy.
We're happy to provide a copy.
I'm fairly short, and I like things to sit on at Thanksgiving.
Yeah, we're happy to provide copies.
Okay. Anything else, Christine? I think we've covered the other items.
Yeah, there were a couple other items, but we've already covered them. So
I would just mention that Christine and I also had an opportunity to meet with one of the rating agencies, and I wanted to thank Mike and his staff for the preparation of the materials for that. As you know, they regularly just come and talk to us about what concerns they might have had in the past and how the actions of the board have affected those concerns. So we did have a meeting with them, and thank Mike for that. Okay. Should we turn to the consent agenda? So may I hear a motion, or maybe now that we've got committees, we actually have a formal, I guess it's always been the case, a formal motion. I just need a second on 6-1 on finance.
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. And on procurement 6-2, there's just one correction on number 7. I believe the amount should now read in your book 15-0700 and then 18-0700. I don't know if anybody needs to comment on that.
No, that's correct. The committee did approve the correct amount of the renewal, which is $300,000.
Okay. If just hadn't appeared in this resolution. Okay.
So moved.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Thank you. The three items under engineering?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Those are approved. And under legal, I think number five, there's a change in that?
Just in the wording that the tollway will pay 50% of the project costs, which is correct in the resolution.
Okay.
And so which one are we voting on?
Project.
The correct one.
And not construction. Yes.
Chair, on item number three in engineering's agenda, Director Saldana asked a question during committee, and I said I would get back on that. And it concerned, this item concerns the assignment of a lease and also the renewal of a property lease. And she asked about, you know, the termination aspects of it. And we did verify in the lease that either party, either the tollway or the lessee, can terminate this lease with 60 days' notice, so we shouldn't have any issues.
And that relates to they're renting ground from us for parking for their facility?
They
pay us to rent the ground?
They do have a sliver of parking that encroaches on our property on 990, and since we know that our new program's going to concern a lot of work on 990, that's what brought up the question about if we enter into this lease for, you know, five more years, is that going to impact, you know, what we can do on that property? And it will not.
Mike, did you?
Yeah, I just wanted to note that on item 6-1, the resolution approving funding for workers' compensation, there's a minor change to that. I think we have a paper copy just clarifying approving.
There'll be a phrase added to the beginning of the last paragraph that says the recommendations of the tollway and the consulting engineer are hereby approved before that last paragraph in the resolution is written.
So do we need to go back and do something differently on that?
I think we need to go back and
revote. So did they have this in front of them?
I'll make a motion to reconsider the approval of item 6.1, number 1.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
So we voted to reconsider. Now can we vote on the new resolution? Do I hear a motion on the
motion?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? I'm sorry, were there any questions? I think it was clear. Okay, good. Thank you. I'm sorry, I went too quickly to allow you to do that. Okay, so we're clear now on numbers 1 through 7. In 6.4, we had those two explanations. Any other questions on those? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you. Unfinished business? Are there any other items of unfinished business? Any items of new business?
I have one thing, Madam Chair, that I'd like to. There was a report that the Inspector General in the City of Chicago, not ours, this week has recommended a tax on suburbanites who work in downtown Chicago. And while this may not be totally in our purview, we have statistics that might be beneficial to he and others who are considering this. You and I and a lot of people involved in government since the 1970s have tried to take that fence down that existed between the City of Chicago and the suburbs. I know Tom and George have been on committees, and Mayor Daley set up a committee years ago to operate among us, and I think it's very important that we take that wall down and keep that wall down. The reality is putting a tax on suburbanites who work in the city would be counterproductive. Because we now have statistics, I believe, on I-90 that as many people commute out of the city every day as commute into the city every day, so it would create a kind of a mess and something that isn't really necessary. And you know, a lot of the tollway is not in the city and goes all the way out to Boone and Winnebago counties, and we are trying to, in our best, cooperate in economic development with the city and with the suburbs and with the outer counties, even as much as when we get our hearings, trying to have people from the City of Chicago attend to make sure we don't force people onto side streets and that. So I'm not sure if the right form. I'm preparing a letter that I will send to the Inspector General in Chicago. I would prefer that he probably spend most of his time looking at corruption rather than thinking he's the mayor of the City of Chicago. But the reality is that we need to not put those barriers up. We have had 30 or 40 years in Illinois where we've taken those barriers down, and it's made for a much better government. And the tollway is a good example. We have city people, we have suburban people. Carl is from the western area of the county or the state, and we don't try to put that barrier up. So I was very troubled by that comment. I would hate to have us have to pay a tax to Downers Grove for everybody from the city of Chicago who works the tollway, but I think there's a large number of people here that do live in the city of Chicago, and I don't think we want to get into that, so I just wanted to get that off my chest. I will send him a letter.
Always happy to have you get things off your chest. Is there anything else under new business?
We need a motion to go into executive session, Liz?
We do. We need a motion. We seek executive session to discuss potential and actual litigation pursuant to Section 2C11 of the Open Meetings Act.
And I believe personnel as well, because we will be discussing the executive director's evaluation.
Okay.
I don't know what the section is, but we can amend the resolution later if it is acceptable to the board members. Okay, I'm sorry, we didn't communicate.
Motion to move
to executive
session.
Okay, second? All in favor?
Aye.
We'll take a 5-minute break and we'll come back in executive session. And thank you, everybody, for your help.